Good morning once again, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we have the freedom to gather together in your name. Lord, may we never lose sight of that, Lord. May we be ever mindful that we do have the freedom. And may we be ever mindful that you are a God worthy of praise. Lord, I pray that you'd open up your word for us this morning. I pray, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would speak deep inside us. I pray, Lord, that you'd open up heaven for us. To know you, Lord, so that we can make you known. Lord, work in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. I'm going to read them again. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I've got two definitions here, two words. One is for flesh. This is out of Strong's Concordance. Flesh is the body, the human nature, the carnal mind. The carnal nature. Mind is the intellect, the understanding. Amazing Grace. We probably should have sang that song this morning. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. John Newton wrote that song in 1775. It didn't really catch on too fast. It was actually almost ignored over in England where he was. Here in the United States, it became more popular. And now it's just about everybody's favorite song, isn't it? It's mine. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Is that talking about pre-salvation or post-salvation? Is this how John Newton felt about himself before or after? The man that does not utter this cry is out of communion with God. or he's ignorant of the teaching of the Bible, or he's so deceived about the actual condition of his heart. Romans 7, some people think is very controversial. Some people think it doesn't belong between chapter 6 and chapter 8. But actually, I think it connects the two of them really well. The first half of Romans 6 and the first half of Romans 7 deal with the believer's standing. The second half of each chapter has to do with the believer's state, but with this difference. The second half of Romans 6 tells us what our state ought to be, while the second half of Romans 7 shows what our state actually is. What is our actual state? Does your mind wander while praying or during a sermon? You got that pot roast at home in the crock pot you're thinking about? What could be making that noise under the hood of my car? My neighbor sure has a nice new boat. I'm so happy for him. I remember years ago, I was a teenager and I was going to church in Southern California. And my mother had gotten a brand new coat for Christmas, a beautiful coat, blue velvet. It was beautiful. So she wore it that first Sunday after Christmas. And there was a woman sitting in the pew behind her, maybe a little bit to her left, that just glared at her all through the service. That woman had gotten a Christmas present too. She'd gotten a beautiful new hat, blue velvet. You didn't need to be a mind reader. You knew what she was thinking. Are you ever offended by what someone said or did? Or angry? Maybe it's about politics. Maybe it's about gossip. Maybe your eyes stay on an image or sight longer than they should. How about that swear word you hear and it seems to bounce around in your brain for what seems like weeks? It just wants to stay there. Then there's that idiot on the freeway that made you think of committing mayhem. Do we always have nice, wholesome dreams? Bob Dylan, in one of his songs, said, if my thought dreams could be seen, they'd probably put my head inside a guillotine. But actually, we're concerned with what if the church finds out? What if it becomes known? Why are we like this? Oh, wretched man that I am. Am I condoning these things? No, I'm not. Nor am I saying that they should be ignored. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, wretched man that I am. There's only two places in the New Testament where the word wretched appears. Here and also in Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Who is this said to? This was said to a church. A church of Laodicea, you know, the one that was neither hot nor cold, the lukewarm church. The one that Jesus said he'd spew out of his mouth. The unsaved or the carnal believer has no knowledge of the things of God, nor can he. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. So he wouldn't know anything about how wretched he is, would he? But we do. Oh, wretched man that I am. Should we speak like that about ourselves? Genesis 18:27, and Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, I which am but dust and ashes. Job 40, verse 4, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Job 42, 6, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Isaiah 6, 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Daniel 10, 8, therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. And 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Apostle Paul, the chief of sinners, he said. You know, we don't notice the filthiness in a house until we shine a light on it, do we? The brighter the light, the more obvious it is. I try to keep dim lights in my house. But the closer we get to God, the more we realize how much we need him and how big his grace is. But doesn't being saved supposed to bring us joy? 2 Corinthians 6:10, and sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Sorrowful because we're sinners. Joyful because God's grace is bigger than our sin. Can you be a percentage Christian? 75% Christian? 50% Christian? 25% Christian? Doesn't work that way, does it? When we're saved and we receive the new nature, do we still have the old nature? Yes, we do. There's a battle that goes on. 2 Samuel 3:1, now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. Saul represents the old man. David represents the new man. There has to be a progression. There has to be growth. God will perfect that which concerns him. He that's begun a good work in us will complete it. A lot of it's going to happen on that final day when he comes and gets us and we're transformed. But until then, we still strive, don't we? Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusts after the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So what do we do then? In Romans chapter 8, Paul says in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 16 and 17, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. After saying that, he says in verse 23, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Groan within ourselves. O wretched man that I am. Waiting for the change. First Corinthians 15. 53 and 54, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have power on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Verse 25 says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered for the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Can we out-sin God's grace? No. You might do the same thing over and over. And you might go to God, and that's the key, going to God about it, talking to Him about it, confessing your sins. And you might say, Lord, I keep doing the same thing over and over. And God says, what are you talking about? I don't remember it anymore. A righteous man falls seven times, but seven times he gets up. Where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. It says in Isaiah 55:7 that when we come to him, when we forsake our sin, and we come to him, he will abundantly pardon. Ever increasing amounts each time we come. So what does all this tell us about ourselves? What does it tell us about God? If we have a better view of our condition, maybe we will worship him even more. If we have a better view of our condition, maybe we will be more accepting of others. Remember the log that's in your eye as you're looking at the speck in your neighbor's eye. The things we do that break God's heart, do they break our heart also? That's called repentance. So what do? Do we give up? 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. This is what we strive for. This is what we seek. That's where the bar's been set, perfection. Are we going to reach perfection in this lifetime? No, we're not. But that doesn't stop us. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. 1 Corinthians 9:26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beats the air. John Newton, he lived from 1725 to 1807. He worked on a slave ship. He ended up being the captain of a slave ship. One night in a really bad storm where they thought they were going to lose everything, they're going to lose their lives, he called out to God for mercy. Until then, apparently, his mouth was so vile, his speech was so full of profanity, that it even offended the sailors that he worked with. Can you believe that? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. John Newton, I have a quote here I'm going to end with. He said, I'm not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be in another world. But still, I am not what I once used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. We'll get there. Just don't give up. Lord, we thank you for the work you're doing in each one of us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, like in Jeremiah 18, we're on that potter's wheel. We're being molded. We're being shaped. We're being changed. Lord, we just pray that you continue the work. We know you will. Your word says you will. We thank you, Lord, that one day we're going to be looking at the finished product. We know it's coming, Lord. We trust you to finish what you started. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives and your gift of salvation. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that 2,000 years ago you chose, for the joy set before you, you endured the cross. You chose to go to that cross, and you chose to stay on it. For me. For us, that each one of us could say that if I were the only person that ever lived, you would have still done it. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful sacrifice. Thank you for the blood that you shed for us. And thank you, Lord, for the change you're working in us. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us today in everything we do, Lord. May everything we do bring glory to your name. May we reflect you to a lost world. May people see you in us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. That concludes our service.